Well, the smell of summer grilling fires up the taste buds, doesn't it? Just makes your mouth water. But before you jump right into your outdoor get-togethers, it's important to consider food safety because, well, we want to stay healthy and prevent illness. John Munson in for Larry Mueller on the Ideas Network. Thanks for joining us. Chef Terry Milligan is here with me today to talk about grilling safety, and she's going to share some delicious grilling recipes. Chef Terry Milligan is chef and culinary instructor. She and her husband own and operate the Inn at Christopher's in Sister Bay. She's staff writer for Edible Door and a contributing food writer to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Terry, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you very much. I do want to mention I'm the former owner of the Inn at Christopher's. We sold that 3 years ago, so now I hit the road teaching and doing things for the Milwaukee Journal and Edible Door. So that's okay. Still the Inn at Christopher's, but a new person.
All right. Well, I'm glad we cleared that up. I'll make a note of it.
Thank you.
Okay, so on the calendar, summer is still a couple of weeks away, but let's face it, Memorial Day is kind of the start of summer in the way most of us think about it. So let's say that summer is either just around the corner or already here, depending on your point of view. But it's time for outdoor grilling. So before we dive into that, though, there's some safety issues here that we need to talk about. What safety tips can you have for us?
Well, your previous guest talked a lot about storing the food. So I think that was something your listeners need to always remember when you buy the food, how to store it, and don't, you know, put that meat above things that it might contaminate in your refrigerator. That's, as you know, a basic kind of restaurant rule about how you place food in your refrigerator. So storing it there is your first tip. But then once you're ready to go outside, you want to make sure that you're kind of all set before you bring that food out. So know where you're going to place the food. Make sure it's not going to be in direct sunlight. If you're going to be out there for the first time in the summer, make sure you've got everything cleaned up from being in the wherever you're storing it in the wintertime. So that means cleaning up those grill, the top of your grill, making sure all your tongs, everything is all cleaned, ready to go. Then you also want to make sure that you've got all your hands washed, has some sanitizer out there ready. You don't think about transferring those germs, but they do happen out there. So you want to make sure you've got different tongs for different things. You don't want to mix that tong that you're going to be using for grilling meat with a tong that you might be flipping your corn with. So it doesn't sound like something that could go wrong, but it's very easily transferable onto different types of foods.
And, of course, we want to be outside on a sunny day, but the sun isn't always our friend, and I'm not just talking about sunburn. That has an impact on food as well.
It is correct. So you want to make sure, first, if you can, have your place that you're going to set your food out of the sunlight as much as possible, maybe underneath a canopy of trees or something, or even if you're out of a deck, maybe you've got an umbrella area that you can put things at. The other thing I like to do is actually get bus tubs that I can put ice in. And I use those tubs, and you can kind of decorate them with some napkins and pretty kind of kitchen towels, so it looks nice. But use that to set some of your larger salad bowls and things, and maybe fruit bowls out in. So that's going to keep the temp down on all those salads that you might have outside.
And by bus tubs, you mean those tubs that the bus boys use when they're clearing the dishes in the restaurant.
I'm from the restaurant world, so okay. Yes. But, you know, and you can get those any place these days, or just a large, even a large pan that has maybe 2 or 3 inch sides that you can set your bowl of salad in. Just so there's a little nice ice out on there. And maybe you've got something that you want to do, poached shrimp kebabs and things like that. You can put that in ice outside, too. So ice can be your friend out there, more for just drinks. It can also keep your food at cooled temperatures.
So are there some foods that are more problematic than others when we're talking about having things outside in the warm weather?
Well, obviously you want to watch out for dairy items. So if you've got, though mayonnaise now is pre-made and not as much of an issue as it was in the old days when you were making mayonnaise by hand. Some of us still know how to do that, but I don't think many people do that anymore.
That's more work than I want to do.
It was. So now it's nice to be able to get it your own. But anything with a kind of a creamy base like that, you definitely want to be careful and not bring out until right before you're serving it. And usually a dessert of some kind you always want to keep inside. Obviously, if on my website I've got a beautiful trifle that I made for a Memorial Day centerpiece, but it was real easy to make ahead of time. It's very compact. You can just pop it out right when you're ready to serve, and it's in its own container, so you're not even moving it around to other containers.
Yeah, and I would also suggest making sure that when you're ready to put the stuff out, everybody's ready to sit down and eat it, and so you don't have people just kind of wandering around and
exactly.
The food sits out there.
Exactly, not a big lag between. And
yeah.
Usually, though, when you start putting food on the grill, people start coming around. So usually that's not that big of a problem.
Yeah, no kidding. Okay, yeah, and I mean, things like potato salad and anything with eggs in it, I would imagine.
Exactly.
You also have to be a little careful with.
Deviled eggs, if you're bringing those out. You know, again, that's a nice thing that you could put on a deviled egg tray on a little bowl of ice underneath it.
Yeah. And I cut my potato salad dressing with whipping cream, so I'm real careful about that. That doesn't come out until we're ready
to... No, that has to come out right at the end. I've got a nice pasta salad that I've been doing that's on my website. That's got a Dijon vinaigrette dressing on it. And that is going to be... That's just your vinegar and oil kind of... jazzed up a bit. So that's a nice one for an outside barbecue.
And by the way, we have a link on the Larry Miller Show Facebook page, Terry, to your website, chefterrymilligan.com, and people can go there and check out some of your tips and recipes and things there. So people can find that on the Larry Miller Show Facebook page. Let's take a quick call as we're getting up toward news time. Kyle is in East Troy. Kyle, good morning.
Good morning. Hi, I just calling to say one of my favorite grilling techniques. It's really simple. I just take meat. My favorite cut would be a ribeye, and just pound it with a fork, and then I make my own little marinade. And a lot of times the best is like one of the spicy pickles. You take that juice, then you add whatever you like to it. And when you're done poking with a fork, you put that on top of it, and it sinks into the meat. And you do that back and forth a couple times on each side. And then afterwards, it comes out with a great flavor, and it's really tender and really nice.
Hmm.
I think that's nice that you do the fork. Some people use those meat pounders that have the little teeth in them. And really what you're doing when you do that is you're just kind of tearing the meat up. And I think that's a nice tip to just use a fork or some like a little shish kebab skewer even. And that's going to damage the meat less.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks. Yeah, thanks for that, Kyle. That sounded really interesting. I have the interesting use for pickle juice. I'll have to give that some thought. Well, let's talk about meat for just a little bit, because there's always a debate about how to tell when meat is fully cooked. And obviously, you know, some of us like our steaks, cold in the middle, and others don't want to see any pink at all. How do you know when meat is done?
Well, the easiest thing to use is what us chefs would call the four-finger thermometer, which is using the fist of your hand, and you put the tip of your thumb to the tip of your forefinger. That pad of flesh that's just underneath your thumb is going to be nice and soft and kind of squishy. That's your rare steak. Then you move to your other fingers, and you get the next finger is going to be your medium rare. If you right underneath where the flesh starts to come up to your finger, then you go to medium. Then that pinky, where it's really, really kind of a firm grip, that's your well done. So that's a kind of, if you're outside and you don't have a thermometer with you, that's the way that chefs will look and touch the meat and know by touch how it is.
And, of course, there are factors like the temperature of your grill and so forth.
That's right. So you want to make sure it grills, especially when you're outside, you don't know. It's very difficult to know exactly what the temp is on that grill, rather than being inside. Some folks will try to test their grill to see if it's at the right temp to put something down. If you put your hand over your grill, and you count one Mississippi, two Mississippi, they say that at two or three, if your hand is hot, that means it's ready. So if it goes to five and six, you're still not hot enough yet. So that's kind of a way to gear that heat is at the right temp. So yeah, if you put your hand over it and it's still not hot, you're not ready to go.
Key thing there is to put your hand over the grill, not on the grill.
Not on the grill, just above, you know, like 5-6 inches above, you know, just so you can kind of get a grip to see how it's at.
Okay.
But, of course, the best thing to use is the thermometer. So if you've got your thermometer, a meat thermometer out there, you can test your any kind of your meats because there's different temps that you want to do for everything from chicken to hamburgers to steaks. So a meat thermometer is really your best friend.
And there are where could we go to find out what the ideal temperature is for each level of, I hate to say doneness, because I don't know that that's a word, but
It's true. The USDA has the safety tips. If you go to their website, they'll always list what the recommended temps are for different foods. And some people will disagree because having had a restaurant, you have to kind of go with these temps. But hamburgers, actually, they are at 160 is what the recommended degree is. And I know some folks like a medium rare and rare, but the recommended temp is actually 160. And I think that's more because it's a ground-up meat. There's a little more going on there versus a steak that you could go from rare to medium rare to well done.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go to your your chicken should be about 160, 165, so that's fully cooked through, obviously. The thing that's changed recently is pork. Recently, they changed pork to be a safe level at 145, so that would be, you know, pinkish in the center. Some people don't like it that way, but the USDA will say that is okay.
Yeah, I have to say that mentally I'm having a little trouble getting my mind around that. The first time I was at a high-end restaurant and I got pork tenderloin and it was a little bit more toward rare in the middle, I was a little bit nervous. But I was assured by my fellow diners that all would be well and nothing untoward happened. But I was not comfortable with that. That's probably just a cultural thing. That's what we grew up with.
You know, having had a restaurant, I know that whenever we serve pork, our servers actually would say that it is usually served slightly pink. And if somebody doesn't want it that way, then we could have done it more. So it's nice for a restaurant to be able to say this is where it is going to be, so you're not surprised.
You've mentioned some ways to help keep food cold, using the bus tubs with some ice or just a pan with some ice in it. What are some other methods that we can use to help keep our foods cold when we're outside? I'll just share one that my mother always used to use, and that is she would take all of her serving dishes and put them in the freezer.
Oh, that is a nice thing to do. Yeah, get them as cold as possible.
Right, and so when she would be serving the cottage cheese or the salad or whatever, it would already be in a bowl that was ice cold, and so it would stay cold a little bit longer than if you just put it in a bowl that was at room temperature, or worse yet, one that had been sitting out in the sun.
Right. Well, and that's another, you know, don't have those dishes that you're going to be using sitting out on the barbecue or in the serving area, have them inside. But if you've got enough room in your freezer or even your refrigerator, if, you know, you don't have that much room, that is a great way to keep things, to get it cold and stay a little bit colder longer.
We're going to take a break for some news. When we come back, we have some callers who want to join us at 800-642-1234, talking about grilling with Chef Terry Milligan. You can find information about her on the Larry Mueller Facebook page. Look for that as a link to her website. I'm John Munson in for Larry Mueller. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Well, grilling your typical hot dog or burger is always a satisfying thing to do during this time of the year, but hey, have you ever tried grilled pizza? My guest, Chef Terry, has. She's going to share her unique summer grilling recipes with us today on The Larry Mueller Show. John Munson in for Larry Mueller. Glad you could join us on Wisconsin Public Radio. Chef Terry Milligan is a chef and culinary instructor, staff writer for Edible Door, and a contributing food writer to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Chef Terry, we talked a lot about how to, you know, prepare food safely, but let's spend the rest of this program talking about some recipes, because I think we've all got recipes to share. I think everybody has their favorite way to prepare things, and we want to hear some of your tips for making really tasty food. Tell me about grilled pizza.
Well,
I've heard that's kind of a new thing, isn't it?
Well, I've been doing grilled pizzas for about 5 or 6 years, but I think they've become more in vogue now with all the food magazines. You start seeing them being written about a little bit more. But when you think about it, you can make your charcoal grill outside into kind of like a pizza. Someone would have a pizza oven in your old pizzerias. You get that nice kind of charring on it and kind of a whole rustic presentation going on. So it's really a fun thing to do. And it's, I think kids always like to have pizza, so and adults too. It's kind of a fun thing to do.
Okay, so what are some things we need to know before we just we're not just going to take our frozen pizza out of the freezer and throw it on the charcoal?
Well, I think
obviously.
You need to make your own. So I wouldn't use the frozen, though. You could use a kind of a dough that might be pre-made, but pizza dough isn't that hard to make. I've got a recipe that you can click to on my recipe on my website. Basically, it's just a quick kind of yeast dough that you can make, and you just roll it out in some cornmeal. Cornmeal gives it a little crunch. And then when the grills are hot, I put it right on to the top of the grill without any type of things on top. What you're going to do first is just cook that crust. So you let it go on there. You'll see it start bubbling on top. Once it gets firm on the bottom, take your grill like a flat spatula, flip it, and you get the other side going, and at that point, you can put anything you want on top of it, and it just starts cooking. Put the lid on for a second to melt the cheese, and you've got a grilled pizza.
Wow. That sounds terrific.
Now, it's really fun for the kids, too, because they can kind of figure out what they want to make, put on their pizzas.
And then, I don't know, I want to get your take on these pizza stones. A lot of people are starting to use those. They put those on the grill and heat them up, and then they cook the pizza on the stone.
Mm-hmm. It's the same concept. You're not going to get that hot pizza stone sizzle when you put that crust down.
Mm-hmm.
So the only difference is, I think when you don't use the pizza stone and you put it directly on, you're going to get a little bit more of that charred kind of flavor. So you get a little bit of kind of crispiness on the sides because those flames are licking the pizza crust.
And you need to pay attention. You can't put that on the grill and then walk away and take a couple of phone calls.
No phone calls.
Okay.
And you also will be surprised how quickly that pizza crust will cook. It's, you know, 2 or 3 minutes and you're ready to flip because that goes really quickly.
Okay, and get a big spatula.
I actually have a couple. I kind of use a two spatula method so you can flip it. But you'll find that once that crust on the first side starts to set, it's pretty easy to flip it because it gets pretty firm.
Well, I may have to reinvest in a charcoal grill. Pedro is in Fond du Lac, and he has an idea about potatoes. Pedro, let's go to you next. Thanks for joining us today.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, what I do, actually, another thing I always do, I use a gas grill and I always have wood chips. I just bought a cheap little smoker box and I have a bunch of different kind of chips because different wood is different or good for different things. But a quick tip that I do is I microwave my potatoes ahead of time, basically all the way. And then before I put them on the grill, I'll just spray them with a nonstick spray and then season them and get the nice soft potato, but then you get the nice crisp skin on the outside and just a really quick little trick that a lot of people like when I serve them potatoes, like, oh, they love the crispy skin. And then it's edible more, you know, even people who don't like skin normally will be like, oh, the skin is good. So anyway, it's a little trick that I do.
And another thing you can use is olive oil too. Olive oil or flavored olive oils. You can get lemon and tarragon and oregano flavored oils. And that really gives that potato and corn, things like corn, a different, deeper flavor.
And give us some tips for cooking vegetables on the grill. You talked about potatoes and corn, but a lot of people like to cook pretty much the entire meal on the grill. What are some tips you can give us for getting a good result with vegetables on the grill?
Well, again, have your vegetables all ready to go. You don't want to be cutting them and then have your grill lose its heat. So you want to have everything set. What I like to do is baste with an extra virgin olive oil, and I like to put fresh herbs in with it, maybe a little chopped up garlic as well. So make a little basting kind of sauce that you can put on those vegetables so they get some more flavor, and it also helps them cook a little better when there's a little oil on them. And I like to use a grill basket sometimes too, which I think your listeners might be familiar with. Kind of a, that's what they're usually have little perforated holes in them, and that's like your pizza stone. You put that on that grill before you put your vegetables in, so it gets heated up, and then throw your vegetables in there, and you don't lose them in between the grates, because that is one of the biggest problems, I think, with grilling vegetables is losing them because they fall through. So that's a nice way to get the grilled vegetables. I do mushrooms that way a lot. Up here we in Door County, we have morels and chanterelles, and there's nothing like throwing those in a grill basket with a little olive oil and getting them nice and cooked and kind of smoky flavored.
Man, I'm getting hungry. We had a caller, Chris, who couldn't stay with us, but he had some advice about steak. And Chris says, if you want to get perfectly grilled, medium-rare steak, you first need to marinate it. Then you pour off all the juice and freeze the meat until solid. Then place the solid meat on a very hot grill, and you will get the perfect steak.
Well, I've never tried that. I've once or twice in the restaurant, I might have had to in a pinch, but I never did try that in the real world. I'll have to try and see how that works.
Yeah, well, I would think that if you like your steak Pittsburgh style, that might be one way.
Exactly.
That might be one way to get it.
You'll get the nice kind of char on it with the red and some really, really raw red inside. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You have a lot of recipes on your website, but there was one that I wanted you to talk about because it just sounded really, really neat, and that was grilled French bread salad. Tell us about that.
Oh, it's actually a grilled French bread sandwich.
Oh, sandwich. I'm sorry. I can't read my own writing today.
That'd be hard to put the lettuce on there, but we'll try the sandwich. It's called a pan beignet, which is a stuffed French sandwich. I've been doing these for years, started them at my restaurant. And basically, you can use a ciabatta bread or a nice French bread. It's kind of a French muffuletta where you take a little bit of the inside out, and then you can stuff it. I usually use sliced chicken or turkey, and I have the recipe calls for a little mixture of artichoke hearts, roasted red bell peppers, and niçoise or Kalamata olives, and then a little vinaigrette that I put on top. You wrap that sandwich in foil, and what's fun about this is you can make these ahead of time, even a day ahead. And actually, the more they kind of stay in the refrigerator for a day, the better that whole sandwich gets, because all the flavors meld together and the vinaigrette gets into the bread. And then you just throw it on the grill in the foil and heat it up, and you get a grilled French bread sandwich, which is easy to get done quickly and have ahead of time.
Wow, that sounds very tasty.
It's very good, and you can put whatever meats you like in there. I've done it with roast beef as well. Traditionally, it's made with a chicken or a turkey.
And again, your website, ChefTerryMilligan.com, and there's a link to that on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. So you can go there and click on the link and find the recipes that we're talking about here. Anne in Racine has I think, an interesting idea about peanut butter corn. Anne, go ahead.
Hi. This is absolutely delicious, and it's so easy. You just take some sweet corn, peel the ears back, don't remove the husks, take off the silk, and smear the corn with peanut butter. And this is actually one of those recipes where a cheap peanut butter is just fine to use instead of the whole grain stuff or rather the organic stuff. And then wrap it back up with the husks and grill it, and it's absolutely delicious. You don't need to add salt or butter. It just, the flavor is just amazing.
Well, that's one I've never heard of, but it sounds interesting.
Peanut butter corn.
I can see where you wouldn't need salt, though, because you'd already have kind of a salty taste from the peanut butter.
Yeah.
I've done that with flavored butters, with herbed butters, but I've never done it with peanut butter, so we'll have to give it a try.
Okay. Well, Anne, thanks for that. Clark in Wausau, you'll be next. Hi, Clark.
Hello. I want to go back to pizzas if I can, possibly.
Sure.
As far as making a pizza on a Weber charcoal grill, would you use wood or regular charcoal?
Well, I always think that's your preference. I usually use a little mix of both because I like the wood flavor, but you get a little bit more heat from the charcoal sometimes. So I think one of the previous callers talked about putting some wood chips in with the when they're grilling. So I usually use kind of a little mix of both. And I would probably suggest that because you want to get some nice heat with it.
And I'm not an expert on this, certainly, but it would seem to me that charcoal would hold a consistent heat longer than wood. Wood is
exactly.
That
exactly. The wood is going to burn quicker, so you're not going to get. You're going to lose that heat. And
yeah, your window of opportunity for cooking is much shorter.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Okay.
And I think people that have done just wood notice that when they put those wood chips or out there, they're gone quickly. So it is nice to kind of do a little mix of both.
But wood-fired grills are a pretty popular restaurant trend right now, and
very.
I think a lot of people are trying that at home. Or you're just you're cooking out, you're maybe camping and you're cooking your steaks cowboy style.
Mm-hmm.
What are some tips you can give us for cooking with wood?
Well. As I said, the wood chips will give you a nice smoky flavor. So one of my tips is just to make sure that you don't go too overboard because sometimes you get these hickory chips or mesquite chips, and they're pretty strongly flavored. So that again, is kind of my going back to the premise of using the chips as an add-on for flavor and that nuance of the wood flavor. The one thing that I would note that if those people wanting to get a smoky wood flavor, that it does take some time to get that flavor in. So you kind of want to do wood smoke things that you might need to stoke it maybe a couple of times during the process so those wood chips might burn off and you need to keep getting that wood flavor in. So keep an eye on maybe throwing some more wood chips in. The other thing, kind of not chips, but to think of is throwing herbs in there as well, like a rosemary or even lavender if you want to get kind of an interesting essence. But throwing in actual hearty grilled herbs like a rosemary stalk, that gives a really interesting flavor as well.
And Clark, thanks for that call. 800-642-1234. We'll have Terry Milligan with us for about another 10 minutes, maybe a little less than that, sharing recipes and ideas for grilling outside. Of course, we're going to grill outside. Pretty tough to grill in the house. In fact, counterindicated, don't put that charcoal grill in the living room. You have a whole lot of recipes up on your website. Obviously, we're not going to talk about all of them today, but there were a couple that I wanted to be sure that we talked about, one of which is grilled grape leaves stuffed with goat cheese, mint, and dried cherries. That sounds really interesting.
Well, that's another one being in Door County that we developed for my restaurant because we were in Door County and we have a lot of cherries. And an interesting way to get cherries to our customers was grilling grape leaves. If you have a grape vines in your backyard, you can actually use those grape leaves, but usually you find them in a Greek section of your market and they're in a jar. And they, in a little brine, kind of like a pickle, you take them out, you rinse them, and then you can spread them out. You put a little mixture of goat cheese, fresh mint, and dried cherries. If you don't have cherries, you could use dried cranberries or apricots. And you roll them tightly, and you put them on the grill. And again, basting with a little olive oil to give them a little crispness. But you actually eat the entire grape leaf. And the cheese inside then is very soft, and I put it on a little piece of baguette or French bread that's been toasted, and you have kind of a fun appetizer that I'm sure not many people in the neighborhood are serving.
No, that would be one that wouldn't be that common. You could be the star of the star of the whole neighborhood with that recipe.
And actually, another one you can make ahead. You can make those ahead, keep them in the fridge, just put a damp paper towel over them so that those grape leaves keep a little moist. And you could make those a good 3 to 4 hours ahead of time. And there are a lot of grape leaves in a jar, so you would get quite a bit of appetizer out of that.
Wow. Tasty. Let's hear from Steve in Black River Falls next. Steve, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Baby parabella mushrooms wrapped in bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent on the grill.
And how do you fix those, Steve?
Take your mushrooms and wash them, rinse them off well. It doesn't have to be a good bacon. I do like Hormel, though. If you want the flavored, that's fine, the maple flavor. Wrap it in bacon, put a toothpick through it, spice it to your liking, put it on the grill until bacon's crisp, and they're excellent.
Portobellos are a great mushroom to use on the grill because they're so thick and meaty. So you're not going to lose them falling through. And it's also, though minus the bacon, it's a good vegetarian option. But I've used portobellos grilled and basted with a little balsamic vinegar on the grill and then used that for in place of a hamburger so that our vegetarian friends have something to eat.
Oh, okay. Let's see. How about Keith in Green Bay next? Hi, Keith.
Hi. I have a rosemary bush that I've been babying along for years. I put it out in the summer and bring it in the winter. But when I prune it back, I save the woodier, thicker branches for grilling skewers. So I just thread my usually pork or chicken right on the rosemary sticks. So that gets the rosemary flavor right into the pork or the chicken.
Well, that's very in right now is using edible skewers, or though you wouldn't actually eat the rosemary, but something that is an edible product that you can use as a skewer. That's a fun thing to do with shrimp as well.
Hmm, interesting. So for those of us who have rosemary bushes, there's a great use for the twigs when you prune them back. 800-642-1234. You can also leave your question or maybe your favorite grilling recipe if you would care to share it with us on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. One of the other recipes on your website, Terry, is pork kebabs with zucchini ribbons. Tell us about that.
Well, that's and you could do this, the caller before, we could use our rosemary on this. it's making the little zucchini ribbons is easy with a vegetable peeler. You just take your zucchini and use your peeler and go down long ways, and then you can kind of squint them up, and you get little ribbons that you can put in between pieces of pork. And I marinate the pork ahead of time and then keep some of that marinade to baste the kebabs with. And it's a kind of a fun, easy-to-eat grilling recipe because the pork can come right off and it's already cut up, basically. Mm-hmm. A very nice summer recipe, and you could make it with different colored zucchini and yellow squash. So that's something that I like to do for a big group because, again, make it ahead.
Sure. Well, and of course, once we've finished our meal here in the Midwest, just like anywhere else, we want dessert. What are some dessert ideas that go with grilling?
Well, I listed a couple of my favorite. One was the trifle that I had talked about, which trifle is actually an English dessert, but it's layers of fresh fruit with some people use pound cake, some lady fingers, and you drizzle some syrup in there. I usually spike mine with a little Grand Marnier. And then put whipped cream in with it. And that's something, again, put in the fridge, bring it out right at the end. And you can use whatever fruit is available. I used berries in the May picture that I took that's on the website, but nectarines work well. Any of those kind of stone fruits work well. Then everybody likes key lime, I think, in the summertime. And it's a nice kind of cool fruit to have for a summer dessert. And I have a great key lime tart, but I put coconut on top of it. So it's a nice, cool-looking tart to give you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're really a Martha Stewart, I do homemade s'mores a lot of times for a finale. So I make my own marshmallows. And you just take those out, you can put them on your skewer, and at the last minute do a little toasting, and you can make homemade s'mores and present them at the very end.
You make your own marshmallows.
Yes.
Is that a real complicated process?
It's actually so simple you can't believe it. All you need is a mixer, it has gelatin, sugar, and corn syrup in it. And all you're doing is mixing it. And it doesn't look like much when it starts, and in about 20 minutes of just mixing, it becomes marshmallow fluff. You just lay that out in a pan, and then after about 3 hours, it's firm, and you just cut them.
Wow.
They're so simple. And my website actually has a couple of photos on there as well, so you can see how easy they are to make. But once you make your own, there's a big difference between a homemade marshmallow and one you get in the bag.
Well, I would imagine there is.
But it's really easy to make, and you can make those ahead of time, too, and store them just in a container at room temperature. And also make them whatever size you want, too. So if you want giant s'mores, you can have giant marshmallows.
Well, you bring those to a party, you're going to make everybody look bad.
Everybody will be friends with you if you bring marshmallows. Bring your own marshmallows.
Okay. Chef Terry Milligan, that's Terry with two R's and an I, and Milligan with two L's. ChefTerryMilligan.com is the website, and we do have a link to that on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. You can go there and find more recipes and things that you can do when you're grilling outside. Whatever you do, stay safe when you're grilling. That would be probably the best piece of advice we could give to people is to stay safe when they're cooking outdoors. Terry, thank you so much for spending this time with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you very much for having me.
Terry Milligan is a chef and culinary instructor. She's also a staff writer for Edible Door and a contributing food writer to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Cheyenne Lentz produced this hour programming on the Ideas Network and also handled on-air production. We had, as usual, a terrific help from Dave Potratz, and thanks to him as well. Remember, tomorrow at 11, it's Garden Talk. We'll be talking about vegetables and other types of gardening tomorrow at 11 here on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Larry Mueller. Have a great day.